me ask you this. What is the most important question you've ever been asked? What is the most important question that you have ever been asked? Anybody raise your hands out there? Most important question you've ever been asked.
What?
No, no, you went with right? Yeah, she went with, because if you're married, perhaps it's something like, do you take so-and-so as your lawfully wedded wife or husband, right? That, for a lot of people, has been the most important question. Or, as the woman, it may have been actually when Larry got down on his knees and he says, will you marry me, right? Maybe a woman would think that that was the most important question, because the I do, hopefully, was just a continuation of that one. But when you think about the most important question you've ever been asked, it's the one probably you're most glad to how you answered it, or could be the one that you've most regretted your response to, right? And sometimes that's marriage too, right? Sometimes we say yes when we should have been smarter. Or was it some other question? I think we've all been in situations, perhaps, where somebody has asked us to do something either unwise, immoral, illegal, and we said yes. And I'm not saying that as somebody doing the kind of, it's not the royal we, but the we where I just want to make a point, but I mean myself. I'm not going to tell you what I've done. But I have done even something, luckily I wasn't arrested, something illegal as a child because of peer pressure. And if I had been arrested, it could have affected my life from there. So when we think of those questions, what is the most important question you've ever been asked? Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But today, we are going to try to look at the most important question ever asked. One that everybody here and out there, everybody here and out there, has to answer. No choice. You have to answer it. One whose response decides the fate of the responder. And we're not talking fate as in what happens today. We're talking fate as in for all eternity. Matthew, Mark, Luke, all three capture the question. But we're going to focus on the first. Let's look at Matthew 16 and verses 13 through 15. Matthew 16, verses 13 through 15. Matthew 16, 13 through 15. Are we there? Almost? I hear pages turning. Something else about being in a church that's really nice is hear pages turning. We there? Okay, let's go. 16, 13 through 15. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do the people say the Son of Man is? You could imagine asking somebody, who do the people in Antrim say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked. Who do you say that I am? Okay, we're going to stop there. Obviously, it'd be good to read on, but we're not going to. Because within those words, we have some pretty good options for who Jesus was. John the Baptist. Hey, I'll give you an example. So, getting off the plane, can't remember if it was the one in between or the final flight. I think it was the final, who knows. Guy behind me, he says, are you a professor? Boy, I wanted to say yes. I said, no, but thank you. John the Baptist. If somebody said, hey, are you John the Baptist? Other than I'd look and say, did my shirt fall off? Am I wearing rather revealing clothing and eating strange food? Beyond that, wouldn't be a bad one, would it? Elijah. Actually, I kind of prefer Elijah over John the Baptist, especially if I get to ride out of this place the same way. Jeremiah. He's a little more lamenting than I wish, but still not a bad one. Or one of the other prophets. I mean, these are great choices, aren't they? We're left with those. All very impressive, but all very off the mark. In fairness to them, however, Jesus' disciples were just being honest about what they were told. He asked a question, who do they say? And they said, these four choices. But it doesn't seem to me that, did Jesus really care about who everybody else said that he was? It seems to me that what others thought about him didn't matter. Instead, I think he was laying the groundwork, good teaching groundwork, right? Laying the groundwork for a query that is far more important to those that were hearing his words. But who do you say that I am? Who cares what they think? What do you think? Who cares who they think I am? Who do you think I am? Now, please wait. Don't answer that question. I know most of you sitting here know what the right answer is. But don't answer yet. While Jesus was here on earth, there were more options offered than just John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. Let's go ahead back into the Bible and look at some of them. And I probably should have said keep Matthew open, but let's go ahead and look at Matthew chapter 11, verses 18 through 19. Matthew chapter 11, verses 18 through 19. We will be in Matthew quite a bit. We'll be in the Gospels maybe exclusively, just by chance. So yeah, keep your finger in there and it'll be a little faster for you. Matthew 11, 18 through 19. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her actions. Okay. All of our previous choices, albeit wrong, were at least positive, weren't they? But who did this generation say Jesus was? If you look at verse 16, it says this generation. Who did they say he was? A glutton. A drunkard. A friend of tax collectors and sinners. And remember, I think I've said this before, the IRS may not have a great reputation here, but it does not compare to how bad the reputation of a colluder, a collaborator, a thieving colluder and collaborator with the Romans to the reputation they had. It's one of the lowest things to a first century Jew, and they called Jesus that. But who do you say that I am? Okay, we've had an inauspicious start, haven't we, to our answers to, but who do you say that I am? Let's hope it gets better than that. Let's turn to John chapter 8, verses 39 through 41. John chapter 8, 39 through 41. John chapter 8, 39 through 41. You there? Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does. Boy, I love this. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Okay. They may have been a little indirect about it, but did you catch the implication of that final statement? That's right. They appear to have called Jesus a bastard. They appear to have called Jesus a bastard. So, glutton, drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, and a bastard. But who do you say that I am? Let's turn to Matthew 12, 22 through 24. Matthew 12, 22 through 24. We there? It's a little easier when they're all in the same basic neighborhood, right? Same zip code. Mm-hmm. Matthew 12, 22 through 24. Then they brought him a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute, and Jesus healed him so that he could both talk and see. All the people were astonished and said, "Could this be the son of David?" Now, who was supposed to be the son of David? Because that's not just a, lineage-wise. What were they saying? Could be this be the Messiah, right? But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, "It is only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that this fellow drives out demons. It is only by Beelzebub, the prince of demons, that Jesus drives out demons." In my notes here, I've got, right? After hearing about Jesus's, maybe seeing, when I looked at the verses, it didn't make it clear, but at least after hearing about Jesus' amazing and kind, right? Amazing, kind miracle, who did the Pharisees say Jesus was? A person in league with the devil. A person in league with the devil. Glutton, drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, a bastard, and a person in league with the devil. But who do you say that I am? Won't turn there to save some time. You can if you want. Look, perhaps we'll do better if we stay out of Matthew. We didn't do so well in John, though, did we? Let's turn to Mark 3:22. Yeah, I guess we will go ahead and do it. Mark 3:22 instead of just reading. These are nice short ones, and if your fingers are already there, Mark 3:22. There? And good on you, Joshua, for looking these up. I appreciate it. Mike. Too bad there are no more Bibles that Mike could use. And the teachers of the law who came down from Jerusalem said, "He is possessed by Beelzebub. By the prince of demons, he is driving out demons." So we've gone from a person in league with the devil to someone possessed by the devil. I'm not sure which one is worse. Because possessed, at least, just seems it's out of your control. But it sure isn't an improvement, is it? Glutton, drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, a bastard, a person in league with the devil, and a person possessed by the devil. But who do you say that I am? I'm going to try again in Matthew. It's Matthew 10:25. I'm going to just read it from here. If you want to turn, feel free. This time it was when Jesus was promising the disciples that they too would be persecuted. Matthew 10:25 says, "It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household?" Now I don't have ACK. I've got EGAD. In league with the devil wasn't enough. Possessed by the devil wasn't enough. Jesus' words in Matthew 10:25 indicate that some were calling him, he is the master of the house, that some of them were calling him the devil. Glutton, drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, a bastard, a person in league with the devil, a person possessed by the devil, and the devil. Now, I do realize that we're in a situation here where Jesus, on one side here, and the scribes and the Pharisees on the other side here, they were like oil and water. They were like oil and water. So we kind of can't expect those whose positions, the very existence of their positions, were put in jeopardy because of Jesus' existence, to say good things about him. You can kind of understand the problem. So instead, let's look at Jesus' family to find out who Jesus really was. Because at least, if anybody would understand who Jesus really was, let's look at that. Let's look at Mark chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 20 and 21. Mark 3, 20 and 21. Finally, just like I would hope if you talked to other people about me, didn't get a good opinion, that maybe if you went and talked to my wife, Michelle, my brothers, Eric and Matthew, and some others, that you'd get a better thing. So Mark 3, 20 through 21. You there? Then Jesus entered a house, and again a crowd gathered, so that he and his disciples were not even able to eat. When his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, basically to commit him, right? They take charge of him and said, what do they say? He is out of his mind. I suppose that's better than the list up to now. But who did Jesus' family say that he was? A crazy man. A crazy man. Glutton, drunkard, friend of tax collectors and sinners, a bastard, a person in league with the devil, and a person possessed by the devil, and a crazy man. But who do you say that I am? And by the way, Jesus' family weren't the only ones who thought he was nuts. If you look at John 10, 19 through 20, it says, there was again a division among the Jews because of those words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Possessed and insane. But who do you say that I am? And I don't know about you, but I've had quite enough already of this negativity about Jesus. Amen. If you think about it, that's the expression, Dems fighting words. Amen. Perhaps we should react like two of the original 12, James and John, who, if you look in Luke 9:54, and when his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them? That's it. We got it. When people today make similar comments and accusations about Jesus, we should get in a prayer circle quickly. Get a prayer circle together and start fervently petitioning the Lord to, quote, tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them. That's what we should do. I don't see any nodding heads. Or maybe instead we should read the next verse, which says, but he, Jesus, he turned and rebuked them. Oops. But Jesus, they called you a glutton, a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Well, a bastard, a person in league with the devil, and a person possessed by the devil, and a crazy man. But who do you say that I am? But who do you say that I am? Don't get me wrong. It is extremely unwise to rebelliously defame the Son of the living God. However, no member of the Godhead gets his feelings hurt when ignorant people say ignorant things. No member of the Godhead gets his feelings hurt when ignorant people say ignorant things. And sure, sometimes we'll need to be forceful in standing up for God and remind people just how imprudent their words and actions are. But ultimately, what is important for you is, who do you say Jesus is? Who do you say Jesus is? Now, C.S. Lewis, I've told you before, he's my favorite Christian author outside of the Bible, had something to say in Mere Christianity, in reference to that question, which is often what he said is often referred to as lunatic, liar, or Lord. The lunatic, liar, or Lord trilemma, the three options there. And this is what C.S. Lewis said. I am trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about him being Jesus. I am ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is the one thing we must not say. A man who is merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He either would be a lunatic on a level with a man who says he is a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open for us. He did not intend to. Did not intend to. Now, if it weren't for the handy alliteration and lunatic, liar, or Lord, I'd suggest a better summary of Lewis's thoughts is lunatic, devil, or Lord. And doesn't that fit in many respects to the list that we developed together, looking at Scripture? Lunatic, devil, or Lord. Now, in today's pluralistic world, outside of the new atheist context, where they're glad to go right after the God of our Bible and Jesus, we try to be softer than that and try to go with that great moral teacher or great human teacher route. However, as Lewis notes, that is patronizing nonsense. And Jesus has not left that open for us. He did not intend to. So now I ask you, which is it? Which is it? Glutton? Drunkard? A friend of tax collectors and sinners? A bastard? A person in league with the devil? A person possessed by the devil? The devil, or a crazy man, or Lord? Who do you say Jesus is? Okay, let's say it for the internet. Who do you say Jesus is?
Jesus is Lord.
Lord.
Anybody disagree? It's okay to raise your hand. We're among friends. Look, I'll tell you right now. I'd rather you be honest and raise your hand and say, I don't think Jesus is Lord, than sit here afraid to tell people. Just like a doctor would rather have you be honest about your symptoms so he can treat you than be embarrassed and then you die of the symptoms. Let's head back to Peter. And those verses that we started this off with, we're going to read a couple more. Matthew 16. This time we're going to read 13 through 17. Matthew 16, 13 through 17. Almost there. Matthew 16, 13 through 17. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But what about you? He asked, who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. Who do you say Jesus is? The Son of the living God. I'm not sure exactly how we'll each interact with Jesus when he comes in the clouds or we pass away before then. But for the sake of this sermon, let's assume that as we approach the judgment seat, Jesus looks into our eyes and says, But who do you say that I am? He's looking at you. Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? What is your answer? Now you might think to yourself, well, it's obvious then, isn't it? So of course, I'll answer, Lord. It was obvious that Jesus was Lord when he was here on earth. People had ample evidence in prophecy. Remember, it's not like he just showed up. People had ample evidence in prophecy, his actions, his words, his indisputable miracles, like making somebody who couldn't hear or speak, or was it see and speak, right? But those miracles, indisputable miracles, yet they rejected him and crucified him. No, you cannot wait until Judgment Day to answer the question that decides your eternity. Jesus is looking at you right now. Don't look away. Don't look away. That's not going to work either. Jesus is looking at you right now. You cannot avoid answering. A non-answer is the same of saying as saying, I reject you as Lord. Doesn't matter whether you will logically try to say he was just a wise moral teacher, whether you say he was a liar, a lunatic, or any other way you can marginalize the Son of God. The Son of God, who did not come into this world to condemn you, but in order that you might be saved through him. The Son of God, who came to earth to suffer and to die for you. There may be a million wrong answers, but there is only one right answer. Jesus is looking at you right now. Don't look away. Don't look away. He does not care what anyone else says about him. Don't look away. Don't look away. He is asking you right now, but who do you say that I am?